Let's open God's Word this morning. But before I begin with looking into this morning's topic, I thought I'd start by asking you all a riddle. How many like riddles? Oh, one person. Two people. Okay. What's the strongest muscle in our body? Pauline. What's the most used muscle in our body? Well, for the most part. Somebody said the tongue. Yeah, the heart's pretty close too. Sometimes it skips a beat a few times, especially if you encounter wildlife you're not expecting. How about this one? What can be the deadliest muscle in your body? Sorry? That's right. The answer to all these questions is just the same thing. The tongue. Now, why on earth would I take time to speak about this particular muscle in our body? Of course. A quick search on BibleGateway.com shows that the word tongue pops up 133 times in the NIV. The word mouth appears 303 times in the search engine as well. So it's safe to assume that I believe that God wants us to be aware of our tongues and our words. So this morning, before I continue, I once received a bit of advice. It goes like this. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like this wise old bird? This morning we're going to look at what is probably the most well-read and the most advice that we can have from Scripture about the tongue. It comes from the book of James, who is the brother of Jesus. So we're going to look at James chapter 3 to start with this morning. If you want to open up your Bibles and just read verses 1 to 12 here, okay? James chapter 3, near the end of the New Testament. It goes like this. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures have been tamed, and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's image and His likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praises and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. There's a lot to be said in those verses, isn't there? So let me start by analyzing the words themselves a little bit. Now, although many of us here are not too familiar with the reference to figs, unless you live in Fresno, somewhere like that, you know. Okay, I think James has made a masterful argument, piece by piece, on how much power our words actually have. In verse 1, we can see how teachers can carry a powerful influence on others by what they teach alone. If this is the case, I would suggest that they'd be mindful of whatever they say. If someone spoke false words to their children, wouldn't you be upset as a parent? Wouldn't you be upset a little if they told you that 1 plus 1 equals 31? And that's what your child believed for years? Yet every day, from time to time, our children enter into public school systems. Until they graduate high school, they're subjected to anti-God curriculum and one that teaches billions and millions of years ago, which is not exactly how God said it happened in the first place. I just want you to know, I'm not against anybody sending their children to a public school. And I'm not against teaching scientifically proven information to children. The one thing that bothers me is when they simply say the theory and replace the word with fact. Did you know that some textbooks alone specifically say these words, evolution is a fact, instead of the word theory, as to how we all got on this planet in the first place? This whole topic, of course, is another sermon for another day, because there's a lot of information on the theory of evolution. But it does go to show the power of a teacher's words and the influence that they have on the lives of our children. So if the children are being taught something false to start with, they're going to grow up with false information for the rest of their lives. And that's going to affect their minds and their hearts and their directions that they set their paths on in doing. So with this in mind, it kind of leads into the next verse. Would you all agree with me that it's easy for us to stumble in many ways? It is, isn't it? What if we cause someone else to stumble in the faith by something that we just simply say? Jesus puts it in perspective for us. And by the way, I love how blunt he is with his listeners here. Matthew 18, verse 6. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's pretty powerful words coming from Jesus. Can you imagine the shocked looks on the faces of those that had to listen to those words? What do you mean, tie a millstone around my neck and drown myself? Don't kids matter anyway? In his day, children and women were two of the lower class people in society. Of course they didn't matter. But Jesus addresses the crowds by simply saying, yeah, they're important in God's sight. Very few women actually make it into the Bible. There is more influence with men. I don't know, maybe men like to speak more often. I don't know. But the point is, everyone is important in God's eyes. So if you cause a little child to stumble, you better be aware that one day you're going to show up before Jesus and you're going to have to give an account of what happened and why you chose to do that. It'd be better if we guard our words very carefully. Let's not do anything that causes our children to sin. James then talks about putting a bit in the horse's mouth and being able to control the horse by doing so. I think I got to take Janelle's word on this one. I have no idea how it works. Ever put a bit in the horse's mouth? Ever do that? Yeah? Is it able to steer the whole animal the way you want it? Okay. Yeah, that's a whole different story. Janelle works with horses more often than I do. So, I'll have to take her word on that one. That tiny bit, in comparison to the rest of the horse, is pretty small. Yet it can be influenced to do what the horse you're telling them to do. So, there you go. Case in point. Has anyone ever been on a sailboat? Pauline has. Oh, a few people have. I guess I'll have to take your word for it, because I don't like the water that much. They're usually fairly large ships. They're steered by a tiny device in the back called the rudder. Just like that rudder being just a small part of that body of the whole boat, James says that our tongues steer our conversations. Is it possible that our tongues can boast great boasts? Is it possible? Okay. I got to ask this question. Ever been around me after a fantastic glove save that I've made at hockey? Come on, you got to save at the moment just a little bit, right, Kurt? You do. It is possible to make great boasts. But, again, Paul gives us this advice. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. That's from 2 Corinthians 10:17. So my wife figured it out for me. Yeah, Jesus helped me make that save. There we go. That's how I have to address it from now on. There we go. James then goes on to paint a picture of a forest fire being set ablaze by one single spark. That's all it's going to take, one spark. Did you know we live in the land of wilderness all around us? Anybody know that by now? Okay. We don't want to see a single spark set ablaze to a part of the wilderness that we live in. Our forest fire index is now at high in Whitehorse for the first time this year. Go figure. So, forest fires can be a devastating thing. Just ask the residents of Slave Lake, Alberta last year. And I've read some statistics on this. You got to hear this. Okay? The end result at Slave Lake, Alberta was that 374 properties were destroyed. 52 damaged in town alone. Another 59 were destroyed completely, and 32 damaged in the surrounding municipal district of Lesser Slave Lake River, number 124, to be specific. And it left a total of 732 people homeless. You know what the cause of that fire was? Arson. In other words, it was deliberately set. Can you imagine deliberately displacing 732 people from their homes? And how shocking, how ridiculous that concept is? So are we intentionally attempting to hurt others by doing what we do? Or do we continue to lift each other up with our words? Just want to make a note or two more of some of the observations that I saw on the remainder of the passage in James alone. In verse 7, he mentions that all kinds of animals were tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. Did you know a careless tongue causes all kinds of problems for us? Ever been angry with your spouse? Ever say something before thinking about the results and what effects your words might have on somebody else? Ever put your own foot in your mouth? Can anybody still do that? I haven't been able to do that since I was a baby. James considers the tongue a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Wow, that's pretty strong. Ever been bitten by a rattlesnake? Some of our people are from down south here, way down south. Any rattlesnakes around? Yeah, pretty deadly, aren't they? Restless evil, full of deadly poison. They like to announce their presence, though, so that's kind of good. Sometimes our tongue does not like to announce its presence before the words come out. For the remainder of the verses, James is talking about the danger of the tongue itself that's filled with double standards. He mentions how we can praise God one breath and do things that are harmful to others in the next breath. Just to make a point, James also states that they were made in God's image too. So what makes you think you're different? When we are deliberately hurtful to our neighbor, or fellow brother or sister in the Lord, we're not only hurting them, but we're hurting the very heart of God Himself, aren't we? Remember the parable of the sheep and the goats? We don't have time to read the whole thing, but you can find it in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. My favorite line used is this one by Jesus, and I want you to know that it was also said earlier on about 7 months ago by our youth in our Christmas drama here. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Now getting back to the next verse in James, in verse 10, he tells us that blessings and cursings come from the same mouth and should never be. To reinforce this concept, he uses these words, "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." What he's trying to say is that there is no way possible that you can expect to grow apples if you're trying to grow grapes with the same seeds. It just isn't possible. So why is it possible for our tongues to say something that glorifies God in one breath and horrifies your neighbor in the next? That's a good question. I did a little bit more reading on that particular muscle in our body. Here's some lesser known facts about the tongue. All right? These are just some scientific facts. Here we go. I love science. There are approximately 10,000 taste buds found in our tongue. 2,000 of those taste buds are underneath the tongue, inside both cheeks, on the lips, and at the mouth's roof. Did you know that? Did you know that? 10,000 taste buds. You can identify the salty and sweet taste from the tip of your tongue, the bitter taste from the base of your tongue, and the sour taste from either sides of your tongue. Here's another fact. The human tongue is considered to be the strongest muscle in the body, and one of the most sensitive, too. Not only that, but our tongues are the most flexible muscles as well. Also, the tongue works as a natural cleaner for the teeth and can heal faster than any other part of the body. I didn't know that. I thought it was the eye that healed fast. Here's another fact. The color of your tongue can tell you if you're healthy or if you're not healthy. It tells about health conditions. Normally, our cheeks should be and our tongue should be pink in color to signify good health. When the color changes to white, it usually means there's a fungal infection. On the other hand, if your tongue changes to color to light yellow, it means you either have a fever or a stomach problem. That's interesting. Our tongues are responsible for detecting and transmitting taste signals to our brains. There are approximately 10 to 15 receptacles found in each taste bud that carries the message to the brain. As there are various nerves present on our tongues, the signal can be carried till the brain so that it can be detected and differentiate the various flavors and tastes. I didn't know that either. This is fun. Our tongue has to be moist, and presence of saliva is necessary in order to identify the tastes of food. To make it more simple, a dry tongue would not be able to tell what you're tasting. It cannot make that difference between the five different tastes. Let's say that you place a piece of lime on a dry tongue. Your brain won't be able to understand what it's tasting. I didn't know that either. And the last fact I want to share with you, even though an individual can roll his tongue about 85% of the way, not everyone can do that. Everybody practice rolling your tongues. Let's see. Okay. There's a difference between rolling and curling your tongue, by the way. Only some individuals can roll their tongues. And those are just some interesting facts on the tongue alone. We've learned one thing from the word that James has given us this morning. Our tongues, as part of our bodies, can bring great blessings to others or at the same time be used not to bless them. Before we open our mouths, I want you to understand and consider these words. Okay? Psalm 139 verse 4 says, before a word is on my tongue, you, O Lord, know it completely. Wow. And I thought Heather knew everything I was going to say because we've been married for a few years. I thought she, you know, could read my mind very well. Can you imagine? God knows everything we're going to say before we even say it. Now, that's pretty cool. I see some people are still trying to roll their tongues, so I better continue. Imagine that. There's an old Sunday school song that says, oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above, He's looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Ooh, some people know that song. Perhaps we'd be wise to pray the prayer of the psalmist who said, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do not turn my heart to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds in company with those who work iniquity. That's Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4. What is somebody uttering harmful words to somebody else sound like? Psalm 52, 2 says, you who practice deceit, your tongues plot destruction. It's like a sharpened razor. Or how about Jeremiah 9, 8? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With their mouths, they all speak cordially to their neighbors, but in their hearts, they set traps for them. Psalm 5, 9. Not a word from my mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies. How about this question for you? What does someone who speaks a blessing to others sound like? In other words, how do you bless somebody else with your tongue? Just very simply. Psalm 35, verse 28. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. Psalm 71, verse 8. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. All day, not just for 1 hour in a Sunday morning service. Imagine that. How can we guard our tongues from speaking any evil words? Ephesians 4, 29. I love these words. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I love those words. I use them often. Daycare children, believe it or not. We are to encourage one another. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. How about this one? Proverbs 4, verses 23 to 25. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Well, helpful advice. Did you know sometimes it's probably better to say absolutely nothing at all? Job 40, verse 4. I am unworthy. How can I repay you? I'll put my hand over my mouth. Some of you are thinking, that sounds really good right about now, preacher. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Wow. Let me offer you some further advice about the tongue. Here's some choice thoughts of what I found about the tongue. About abrasive speech, I love this. Many a blunt word has a sharp edge. How about this? Keep your words soft and sweet. You never know when you may have to eat them. About gossip. Gossip is like soap. Mostly lye. Spelled L-Y-E, in case you don't know. It's an ingredient in soap. I didn't know that. A gossip is just a fool with a keen sense of rumor. That's good. How about profanity? Profanity is like a public announcement of stupidity. Keep that one in mind. Swearing is a lax man's way of trying to be emphatic. I like that one. How about telling the truth? A lie is a coward's way of getting out of trouble. Truth is as clear as a bell, but it isn't always told. T-O-L-L-E-D. About boasting. When you sing your own praise, you always get the tune too high. Don't brag. It isn't the whistle that pulls the train. Well, those are good words. I like those. And here's some more traditional words, wisdom, about speech and the tongue. It would be better to leave people wondering why you didn't talk than why you did. First law of public speaking. Nice guys finished fast. How am I doing? When all is said and done, there's a lot more said than done. I like that one. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I like that one too. Friends, it may not be an easy task for us to tame our tongue. There is some helpful advice for us. Live lives that are holy. When we do so, we will have an experience much like this one. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. How about Job 27, verses 3 and 4? As long as I have life within me, the breath of God's in my nostrils, my lips will not say anything wicked, my tongue will not utter lies. Quite a commitment. May we have the courage to pray the following prayer. Psalm 19, verse 14. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This morning, in closing, I want to ask you one final question. Is there power behind the words that God speaks? You better believe it. I want you to think all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Sorry, I see three very powerful words numerous times. And God said. I believe there was great power behind those words that God spoke. What happened as a result? Things were being created. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host, by the breath of His mouth. Now, what if we left this place today proclaiming the words of God that He has spoken to us? Would it affect us? Would it affect your neighbors? How about our country? Friends, pray this prayer that we're about to sing. These are holy lips.